probably should have said marshmallow.
Say the background. Tonight, Shaila has been something that we've been talking about in Vernon Show for the last couple of days. It became a very controversial issue over this past Shabbos. I figured it's spilling over into Tinek also, so we'll talk about it tonight. But even the name of the topic was very tricky, how to call this topic. Usually we have it as a Hebrew title. So as I was putting together my Mekomos, so I was thinking to myself, how in the world, I didn't know what the Hebrew word for marshmallow was. I had two choices, either to call my mother-in-law or to Google it quickly. So I Googled quickly, Hebrew word for marshmallows, and it showed up, Mem, Reish, Shin, Mem, Lamed, Vav. I'm going to put that on the Myron McCombs. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. I'm going to have to write marshmallow in parentheses anyway. So I figured the whole time we'll call it the putting marshmallows in a hot plate and sham. So the background to the Shaila, actually, believe it or not, was not even a Tina Shaila, not a Brooklyn Shaila. I thought it was a Fairland Shaila. One of the Rabbanim from Fairland, came over from Fairland, the Shaila. One of the Rabbanim in Fairland called me, spoke to me in yeshiva about a week ago, a little bit more than a week ago, and he said someone had asked him the following shaila when it was all about them and wanted to know if they permitted to put marshmallows back on the hot plate on Shabbos. What they did, they wanted to, I don't know, I'm not sure what they wanted to do, roast the marshmallows, toast the marshmallows, warm the marshmallows, soften them, whatever they want to do with them, is it permissible to put the marshmallows on the hot plate on Shabbos? So we are working with the assumption now that the regular prohibitions of putting food back on the fire on Shabbos don't apply to the hot plate. Whether that's true or not true, maybe another shiur, maybe another time and place. But let's assume for now we're working with a non-adjustable hot plate, and we somehow circumvented any technical problems of putting food, quote-unquote, back on the fire, at least in terms of the derabbanan, what we call the Isser of Hachzara. So what was the source of the shaila? The source of the shaila, the way it was presented to me, was, well, when you put a marshmallow back onto a hot place, if you leave it there long enough, it may begin to melt. And is that a problem? Is putting a marshmallow in a place where it may begin to melt, may become start to liquefy, is that a concern on Shabbos or not? That got the ball rolling, got me started a little bit. But now, sure, usually on Friday nights, we have a much more of a kitzer version of Shaila of the Week. Obviously, there are no marmakobos, there are no tapes, there's no, hopefully, and it's Friday night between and Chamayra. Usually a couple of minutes just until we get to Myra. So I gave the kitzer Nimrutz, what I thought the Shaila was, and I don't think in all the years that I've been doing this, I got so much feedback from the Valvatim. People were going nuts. Everyone had what to say about the marshmallows. And different chilukei deis about the halachas, about the matzias. It was a big tumult about the marshmallows. There's such an extent that finally, last night, we actually ran an experiment. I'll explain as the show goes on what the experiment was. One of my Valvatim came to me last night with about 10 little mini marshmallows, which had been sitting on his blech in a piece of aluminum foil or something for 1 hour. To show me what the result of those marshmallows was, and that was supposed to be the final word on the psak. So let's see if we can now learn the sig a little bit. And the only thing I can apologize to is that I was supposed to bring some of the marshmallows here, and they were left on the table last night. And I told my daughter, she goes to sleep, so in the morning she'll have some marshmallows. I forgot, of course, to tell my wife that there was a reason why the marshmallows were there, and she saw a bunch of little half-baked, brown, dry-looking marshmallows, and she tossed them into the garbage. So that's the end of that. So maybe another time, another place, we'll redo the experiment. But anyway, let's see if we can learn the sugya now. So the sugya begins in the first of the Mamakamos, a shaya that goes way beyond just the marshmallow issue. The sugya in Shabbos and after the Nalaf of the days, the Ein Miraskin, Velos HaSheleg, Velos HaBorah, B'Shabbos, B'Shvil She'azuv HaMeimav. One is not permitted to crush up snow, to bang on the snow or on the hail, in order to cause it to melt, turn into water. One is not allowed to do that. There are actually two gear cells in the Mishonim. Some have the text Miraskin, like we have, and some have the text Miraskin, Miraseh, which is the more modern Hebrew word for mashing, for crushing. So the Braisa tells us in Masech HaShabbos that one is not allowed to crush ice, crush snow, anything to cause water to be created on Shabbos. But what can you do? Although no sinu l'sochakos, what you can do is take a piece of ice, or take some snow, and put it into a cup of a drink, or into a plate which has something in it. The Eino Chashish, and there's nothing to worry about. At the end, Hanulach Betom is not part of the Maramachim. That happens at the end of the fourth parak. So the question is, what exactly is this Isser, and what exactly is the Heter? So Rashi on the spot writes that the prohibition, the second Rambam comes, Rashi writes, Kadesh Zuma Meimov, Mishum de Kamolid B'Shabbos, because you are causing something new to come into existence on Shabbos. What is the something new? The water. Now, of course, we know from chemistry first day that water and ice is not really something new. It's really the same thing. Ice is just frozen water, the same H2O. But nevertheless, in Halacha, we view it as a new entity. And therefore, what you're doing on Shabbos is problematic because you're being molded a davar chadash. And what is so terrible about being molded a davar chadash? Which of the 39 malachas does that fall under? Rashi says none. B'dami the malacha. It looks like malacha. Resembles a little bit like a malacha. Shabayre yamayim ha'elu. Because you're, in effect, creating. Your Roshim created for 6 days and stopped creating on the seventh day. We're supposed to refrain from malacha. When we do an act that gives off the impression of creating something new, that in and of itself is a problem on Shabbos, even though it's not technically one of the 39 malachas. To what degree is this action prohibited? Clearly only midirabbanan. If it's not a malacha, the Torah says only the lamates malachas are prohibited. If this is domal malacha, that's a code word for saying it's only a dirabbanan. There's a new category in halacha called molid davar chadash, which is prohibited both on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. There is a similar sugya that appears in Maseches Beitza. The Gemara tells us that, the Mishnah actually tells us that you're not allowed to strike a match, you're not allowed to rub two sticks and stones together on Yom Tov to produce a fire. And Rashi in the spot says the reason why that's also, even though you're allowed to light fires on Yom Tov if you need fire, but to make a fire from scratch is also prohibition with the Rabbanon of molid. So that idea of molid is something that we find Shabbos, Yom Tov, fire, water, we find it in many areas of halacha. The problem is, according to Rashi, why is it permissible to crush the ice into a cup of water? Why is that mutter? The Braisa says you can't crush the ice, but you can put it into water. So what does that mean? The Rashi continues in the second line, in the second Mechamas. You can take the ice and put it into a cup of wine on a hot day, and that would be all right, because you're not really doing anything. It's the moach me'elav. Even though the ice is melting, so in theory you are quote-unquote creating water, but the answer is you're not really creating water. The water is almost being created by itself. When I sit there and I bang on the ice actively and I cause ice to turn into water, that's a prohibition, midraban of Moses, that's nirikabar devechadosh. But when you put the ice into the cup of water, into the cup of wine, and it's just going to melt over the course of time by itself, whatever happens by itself, that's not my problem. That's not considered to be me doing the act of bairi. I remember one time when I was learning this sugya and I was learning the Rashi, I was a little bit surprised at a pure mitzias question. Again, this is not a very lumdish question, just a pure practical question. How in the world in the Middle Ages, if you had a hot day, how in the world did you get ice? Rashi is describing taking ice and putting ice into a cup of wine. So if you think about it for a minute, you know, in today's world, we wouldn't think about it twice. But
they had room,
so right, that was the answer to the question, right, 100%. Right, so in fact, I think they described that they used to keep them underground. They used to have, like, in pits or something, that they used to mama store ice when it was a little bit cooler, and yeah. Okay, whatever. This is not a lumps to shadow. This is just something that just struck my attention. So somebody explained to me the similar idea. But yeah, if you collect enough ice in the wintertime, it'll last you for, if you keep it cool, it'll last for a while. Okay.
Okay, we're going to get to it in a second.
Okay, according to Rashi, it's clear that as long as everything is passive, it's okay. That's how Rashi is learning pshat in the contrast between Ein Miraskin, in contrast to Nosin Asachama. So the Rambam doesn't focus on the issue of Molid, but the Rambam in effect comes to the same conclusion as Rashi, because the Rambam, in the third of the Mamakomos, in Uchashab, is Brechof Alaf, Lacha Yid Gimel, the Rambam puts this halacha about Ein Miraskin in the middle of an entire discussion about halachah Yigimel's theme is kvashim shlokosh esachaton. If you have pickles or other kinds of vegetables that have absorbed the liquids in them, and now you want to squeeze them out on Shabbos, in the rakech gufan mutter, if the whole reason why you're squeezing it out is just to soften the vegetable, so that's okay. But if you want to squeeze out the pickle juice because you want to drink the pickle juice, that would be a problem. That would be an isser. That's a prohibition of schitas peiros. The Gemara says in the end of it, Shabbos, that squeezing grapes and squeezing olives on Shabbos is an isser min haTorah. Squeezing other kinds of things may only be midrabanan. And that's another time, another place. But there is an isser deraisa potentially of squeezing certain things on Shabbos. And the Rambam is discussing those halachas of squeezing. And then right smack in the middle of this halacha, the Rambam writes, "Ein miraskin es hashelach sheyazu b'meimav, av miraskin l'sachar ka'ar l'sachar kos." The Rambam says that you're not permitted to crush snow, to crush ice, right in the middle of the discussion about squeezing pickles. What in the world do the two have to do with each other? So the answer is, obviously the Rambam didn't learn like Rashi. The Rambam must have learned that the reason for the prohibition of crushing ice is almost like a gezeirah b'shem schitas peiros. It gives off almost that impression of squeezing. Again, it's not exactly the same thing, but if you think about it a little bit, superficially at least, it looks similar. You have a solid, and you put pressure on the solid, and now you end up with a liquid. So I used to have a pickle. I press on it, and I have pickle juice. I used to have an orange. I press on it, and I have orange juice. I used to have a block of ice. I press on it enough, bang on it enough, and now I have a cup of water. So the Rambam seems to say that the Isser of Meraskin, Rain Meraskin, has nothing to do with the molid of Rashi. Apparently, the Rambam must have held that's not called molid. Water to ice. Ice to water is all the same. H2O is all chemically the same water. And the Rambam felt that wouldn't be a violation of molid. Why is it also? So the Rambam had to come up with a different reason, so he came up with an entirely different approach. So even though Rashi and the Rambam are different, the common denominator between them is that the only time there's a prohibition is if it's actively done. But there is a third possibility in Rishonim, and here the third possibility is actually quoted in the Ran. Unfortunately, not quoted enough of the Ran that we needed, because for some reason it got chopped off in the Ram Kamas. It was supposed to go another two or three lines. So I'll have to tell you what it says in the Ran, and we'll see it as it appears in Shulchan Aruch. The Ran quotes from Rabbeinu Baruch. Rabbeinu Baruch wrote, it was called the Sefer HaTruah. It's actually one of the Balei HaTosfos. Rabbeinu Baruch has an entirely different approach to the sugya, which is exactly what Dr. Fisher said. Rabbeinu Baruch said, the reason why Ein Miraskin is a Sheleg is related to molid, but not molid of an action like the way Rashi described it. Rather, the Yisr of Ein Miraskin is a prohibition of no lud, because Lamaisa, water that comes out of ice, is a new thing, it's a new item, it's a new entity, and this smacks of an Yisr of Mukta. This is like the Sugyas, those remember the beginning of Masechet Beitz, the Beitz Shanol to be Yontif, an egg that's laid on Yontif, it's a whole new entity, it's a Shal of Mukta. So this is a subcategory of Mukta. When something new comes into existence, Rabbeinu Baruch said, that's the reason for the problem. So it's not so much because you're creating something new. The problem is that something new has come into existence. Of course, the problem is...
They works with orange juice because it didn't exist. So you didn't have orange juice became orange with that. You have water. It temporarily changed status. That's back to its original status.
No, but the problem is that happened on if the Shabbos started. Nola means when something is born on Shabbos. So when you're right. If it would have been water when Shabbos started, then it froze, and then it remelted, that would not be Nola. But Rabbeinu Baruch is describing that it was water before Shabbos, and now it was frozen, became an ice cube on Friday afternoon, it was already an ice cube. And now Shabbos morning, you're bouncing around, you're taking it apart, you're turning it into water again. That's the problem. That's called the Dover Nola.
Rabbeinu Baruch was not there. Ice was created on Shabbos. They went back to water.
Yeah, according to Rabbeinu Baruch, right, there wouldn't be a problem of Nola. Right. If it started out as water, went to ice, and back to water, all the place on Shabbos, that wouldn't be Nola. Right. So this Rabbeinu Baruch is radically different from the first two pshatim, because the first two pshatim were focusing on the mice and the pu'ulan action, either the action of Molid, the action of Gezer of Sittas Peiros. Here Rabbeinu Baruch is focusing on the result. The fact that a new entity came into existence on Shabbos, that in and of itself is a problem. According to Rabbeinu Baruch, what does the end of the Braisa mean when it says you can put it into a cup and almost let it melt by itself? So clearly that cannot mean what it meant according to Rashi. But according to Rabbeinu Baruch, if the prohibition is the result, not the action, why does it make the slightest bit of difference whether you did it or it happened by itself? So Rabbeinu Baruch had a different interpretation. Rabbeinu Baruch said that the reason why it's permissible is because the water is melting into a cup. And it's melting directly into the pre-existing water, into the pre-existing wine. You never really see it. It never really takes on a life in and of itself. It doesn't really exist. The issue of Nolad is when something didn't exist, and now it comes into existence, and it's looking at me, staring me in the face. When something never really is staring me in the face, because it becomes bottled immediately, becomes immediately part of the cup of water, but I never really see it. So if I don't really see it, it doesn't exist. For all practical purposes, in halacha, it doesn't exist, and therefore it's not considered to be something new, and the issue of nola put into play. It's the same, right? The similar idea, right? It's a similar type of idea, right? So again, so we have three different approaches in the Rishonim, what the problem was in the first place and what the solution is. According to Rashi, the problem was molid. According to the Rambam, the problem was chitas peiros, the zeir b'shus chitas peiros. And according to Rabbeinu Baruch, it was an issur of nolat slash mukta. And of course, dina skamina ladina would be, if it happens by itself, or it happened somewhat indirectly over the course of time, would that be a problem altogether? According to Rashi, the Rambam, that would be all right. According to Rabbeinu Baruch, even that presumably should be a problem. How do we paskin l'aloch and the shailas? We take a look at the Shulchan Aruch, the fifth of the Ramakamos, we have to go out of order a little bit towards the bottom. The last paragraph in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch writes, Mutal litein ipando kineged ha'esh, kim v'mokom shayad soledet, yafo pisha shumim shabash shenikba shchoz v'nimayach. The Shulchan Aruch says it's permissible to take an ipando with some kind of a baked dish which had some kind of a beet filling or something, which was full of fat and gook, and I can't say exactly what was in it, but just from the description of what happens when it melts, it doesn't sound like it's the best thing for your cholesterol counts. The bottom line is that you're taking something that was pretty solid, and you're putting it into an area on the fire, and again, everything was cooked already, so presumably there's no problem with cooking. You're putting it in, not even on the fire proper, so there's no prohibition of putting things back in the fire. You're putting it almost near the fire, but what is happening is that the area is very hot, and it's going to melt. That's the key. Even though the congealed fat is now melting, even though it's now subsequently melting, that's okay. The Shulchan Aruch says that's perfectly all right. Why would anyone have thought that that would be a problem? Because the answer is Rabbeinu Baruch says that it is a problem. Because Rabbeinu Baruch says that just as you can't use the water that melted, even though it melted by itself, so too you can't use the melted fat, even though it melted in effect by itself. Why does the Shulchan Aruch not quote Rabbeinu Baruch? The answer is he didn't accept Rabbeinu Baruch's whole pshat in the Gemara. He thought either Rashi or the Rambam were correct, and therefore the Shulchan Aruch totally ignores any prohibition of any melting that happens by itself. As long as you personally didn't melt the item, then there's nothing to worry about. If it melts by itself, that's okay. If you melted it, then you have a problem. However, comes the Ramah and Hagah, the Kol Shekein Kidei Rishiyeshba Rotev Shenikra Shashumani Moach in a Be'en. Okay, the Shulchan leaves that out. The Yesh Machmirin. There are those who disagree, quotes the Ran, who is quoting Rabbeinu Baruch, the Nagula Hachmir, that the custom, at least in the Ashkenazi communities, was to be strict about this. If you have a real need, there's a real tzarech, a real extenuating circumstances, then even the Ramah concedes that probably Rashi and the Rambam are correct, probably Shulchan Aruch Mikra Din is correct. But barring extenuating circumstances, the more correct approach is to avoid this kind of a shayla. This is the psak of the Ramah. What comes out now, we have a major machlokes in Rishonim and machlokes in Shulchan Aruch between the Mechaber and the Ramah. What our take is on items that melt, albeit by themselves. If I crush it, that's for sure a problem. But if it happens almost by itself, and nothing happens totally by itself, I put it in a place that's warm, and over time it happens by itself. The fact that it melted, it's now a liquid, according to Shulchan Aruch, that doesn't concern me. According to the Ramah, lechelchila does concern me. Perhaps the more relevant shaila that emanates from this machlokes, the Mechaber and the Ramah, is about ice. About, namely, not the crushing of ice, but the making of ice. Because the pashtus, the halacha is that the same machlokes harishonim about when you go from ice to water, is that called nolad? Should be an identical question when you go from what is ice? What would the din be if ice is made by itself on Shabbos? I'm not doing anything. I have an ice machine sitting in my freezer, and the water is constantly flowing in, it's constantly making the ice cubes. And I want to take some of those ice cubes on Shabbos. Would that be a problem or not? So the pashtus is that according to Rashi and the Rambam, that would be okay. Because according to Rashi and the Rambam, I didn't do anything. What could possibly be also? According to Rashi, the answer is when you are moilin. So maybe according to Rashi, you couldn't take water and put it into a tray and put that tray into the freezer, like the old style way of making ice. So maybe that would be a problem of moilin. But kozman, that the system was running from before Shabbos, it happened by itself. The fact that the ice was made on Shabbos, according to Rashi, should not pose a problem. According to the Rambam, there's nothing to discuss even. According to the Rambam, it's probably mutter to take the water and actually make the trays of ice on Shabbos, because that's not chitas peiros. Chitas peiros is when you go from solid to liquid. When you go from liquid to solid, there's no issur of chita. According to both Rashi and the Rambam, there should be nothing wrong with using ice that was made on Shabbos. According to Rabbeinu Baruch, lechor it should be a problem. I say lechor, not everyone agrees to this. Moshe had a different cheshbon than this. But the pashas that one is that it's the identical sugya. If you hold like Rabbeinu Baruch, that going from solid to liquid is a no-lot problem, even though it happened by itself, but vice versa should also be a problem. So that's why there are some people who refrain today from using ice that was made in Shabbos. They'll only use the ice if they know the ice came from before Shabbos. I remember years ago when I was a counselor in Marsha Kolel, this was a, no pun intended, it was a hot topic, it's a controversial topic, that there was an ice machine in the kitchen. And at the time, there were different groups from the camp that would sometimes join us for meals on Shabbos. And so some of the people in the Kolel preferred that the ice machine be turned off from before Shabbos. Therefore, any ice that was in there. That we know for certain that no ice was being made. And there were other groups who preferred to have ice for their drinks during the course of Shabbos, who apparently weren't so concerned for the Rabbeinu Baruch. They were more comfortable following Rashi and the Rambam. We had to come up with a good compromise. So the compromise was, Shalom Yisrael, is that as the Kol counselor, one of my many jobs on Erev Shabbos was, I would go to the ice machine on Friday afternoon and take a big garbage bag and fill up the garbage bag with ice and leave it in the ice machine. The ice machine stayed on, so more ice was being made. But anyone who wanted to be machmir, who wanted to only use the ice that was for sure not nolad, it was the priest. It's like the chametz that was sold before Pesach. Because I know for sure that this ice was the pre-made ice, but this was the mahadran ice, and the other ice was the shulchan aruch ice. So we had the ramah ice, we had the shulchan aruch ice. Everybody was happy. Yes, so that would be a problem because that would be a double shneishlo matirin because you could wait. Whenever you have a muktzah that comes mixed up, it's never bottle. So we wouldn't want. We have to be very careful with that big bag of ice. Anyway, so getting back to the story. So we're focusing more on the melting process. So it's based on this whole story when the shaila was first presented to me about marshmallows. So I started thinking, what happens when you put a marshmallow on the stovetop? Or you put it on a hot blanket, put it on a blanket. What's going to happen exactly to the marshmallow? Is the marshmallow going to turn into a liquid or not? So is it going to start eventually to turn to liquefy? So if it will liquefy, but I didn't do it directly, I put it in a hot place. That's exactly what the Shulchan Aruch is describing. When you put the pashtida, the antinda, whatever it's called, with the shuman shabash and nikrash, and it starts to chazav nimayach, it starts to melt, starts to turn into liquid. So the Shulchan Aruch said, that's fine, as long as it took a long time for it to happen. You didn't chop it, that's perfectly okay. And there are more quotes, yesh machmirim, and Nogel HaChemir, unless it's the Mokhom HaTzerech. So I was thinking to myself, I also like marshmallows, but it's hard to call marshmallows such a, you have to have dafka marshmallows on the fire, dafka, you can't wait till Motzei Shabbos to toast your marshmallows. So I was thinking to myself that if the marshmallows really turn into a liquidy, so then that would be a problem. So I'm not such a bulky in the toasting of marshmallows. So I took a poll in the shul. What's going to happen? What do people think is going to happen? So basically they told me, unless you leave it there for an awful long time, it's not going to turn into a liquid. A long, long time until it really, really starts to liquefy, to be a chashash. So I thought it's a fake. So according to the Shulchan Aruch, even if it does turn into a liquid, it's okay. And even according to the Ramah, it's probably not going to happen anyway. So I said, okay, yesh lahokel. So I was so excited, I gave the 5 minutes of halach. I said the kids to be doing about 2 minutes. I didn't go through the whole background. I just said, much like it's Rabbeinu Baruch and everybody else, and left out the Rambam, and left out the Shulchan Aruch, and left out all the details, left out the ice. But the bottom line is, I said that Lefini is right, it's okay, because it's not going to turn into liquid. So I figured that was the end of the story. Afterwards, so a few people came up to me and said, wait a second, I totally ignored what seems to be the more serious shiloh, namely potential Bishul shiloh. Isn't the putting of the marshmallow near the fire on the glass or the hot plate, whatever, the glass, also other reasons, but on top of the hot plate, isn't that a serious problem? A Bishul of cooking. I said, cooking? What about cooking? I said, we have a principle, an age-old principle called Ein Bishul Acha Bishul. Once something is already cooked, it's no longer subject to being recooked. I said, I challenge you to look at the ingredients in the marshmallows. I can't imagine there's anything in there that wasn't good. What are marshmallows? Sugar, that's all it is. No, is there anything else to it? More corn syrup and more sugar. Basically, more sugar, enough sugar, and probably a little bit of flavoring or something. I'm guessing, I would think that everything along the way has been processed, has been naturalized, has been pasteurized, has been cooked at some point along the way, and before it makes it onto your table. So therefore, I was pretty comfortable saying that ain't bishul acha bishul, but not so fair. Then all of a sudden, I started to think, and we started to schmooze, we started to talk about it after the shiur on Friday night, and I started to get nervous. thought to myself, oh my goodness, you know, I've been tippling about this Issa de Rabbanan, which according to Moshe Sharon probably doesn't exist. I spent 45 minutes, you know, tippling here about this Rabbeinu Baruch. Wait a second, we have a much more serious problem. There's a potential Shava Deraisa. What's the Deraisa? You just said in Bishlach Abishal. So there is a din in Shulchan Aruch in the fifth of the Mamakamos. First paragraph of the Shulchan Aruch in Tepei. Yesh Bisha Oimer. There are those who say the source for this opinion is Rabbeinu Eliezer Mimitz. Eliezer Mimitz was the Talmud Muvach of Rabbeinu Tam. He wrote the Sefer Yoreim. So Yesh Bisha Oimer. There are those who say, Shadovah Shenefo Nitzla. If something was baked or roasted, in Bishle Echakach B'mashke, if you go ahead and you cook something that at one time was baked or roasted, Yesh B'mashke Bishle, that is the Torah prohibition of Bishle. Ain Bishle Acha Bishle is the rule, but Yesh Bishle Acha Tzli, Yesh Bishle Acha Rafiya. So Rabbi Elazar admits the Chiddush Gadol, that not all the Rishonim accept at all, the Rishonim who explicitly disagree, the Rav Yoh, one of the other Gedolei Rishonim at that time, strongly disagreed with Rabbi Elazar Mitz, but Rabbi Elazar Mitz quoted his Shita, Shulchan Aruch quoted as Yesh Bishomer, that Ein Bishol Achar Bishol, but Yesh Bishol Achar Tli, Yesh Bishol Achar Afia. What is the most common ramification of this Rabbi Elazar Mitz? So he continues in the Shulchan Aruch in the second line. According to his view, therefore the din is also Litein Pas, Afilu B'Klisheni, Shadat Sabat Isboi. Therefore, you are not permitted to put a piece of bread into a Klisheni on Shabbos. Again, leaving out the details, once, secondly, generally cliche is a little bit more lenient, but Rabbi Elazar Mitz said that if it was only baked, not pre-cooked, that would be a serious problem. The Yesh Batirin, and again, there are those who disagree, and some are different versions, Nogula, Zar L'Chachila, whatever it is. So this statement of Rabbi Elazar Mitz is not agreed upon by everyone, but it is the Yesh Omim in the Shulchan Aruch. It's recommended by both the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, and we try as much as we can to assume that at least the Chumra, at least the Sofek, Yesh Bishol, Achar Afia Yesh Bishol Achar Tzli. The Rishonim are quick to point out that according to this view of Rabbi Elazar Mitz, the opposite is also true. Just as there's a subsequent problem of Bishol following Tzli, vice versa also. You're not permitted to roast something that was only cooked. So if I have a piece of a cooked chicken that was cooked, 100% cooked from before Shabbos, and I want to subsequently roast it on Shabbos, I can't hide behind Ein Bishol Achar Bishol, because once I change the process, that's a whole different set of rules. So, ain bishul achar bishul, ain tzli achar tzli, ain afia achar afia. But the minute you start to cross, bishul is liquid, tzli and afia are the same. They're solids without any liquids. Once you cross from liquids to solids, solids to liquids, you're asking for trouble. It's based on this din of Shulchan Aruch in the first paragraph that the second paragraph becomes very difficult to understand. The Shulchan Aruch in the second paragraph tells us, "Dovashin es basher kol tzarcho." If you have something that was fully cooked, Uyavesh, and it's dried out. She'ein bo marak. There's no soup in it. There's no liquid in it. If there's liquid in it, then there's a whole different ballgame. Because maybe yesh bishlach abishol by soup. The valach again, nothing else. But if you have a dry piece of chicken, dry piece of kugel, mutala nicha kineged amadura, you're permitted to put it near the fire, near the fireplace. A few of the mokos you had to let us bow. Even if it's going to supple and get hot. Even though the Ramah says a few of them standing fire. Even though it was ice cold, as long as it was fully cooked, there's nothing wrong with putting it near the fireplace. Why does the Shulchan Aruch speak about putting it near the fireplace, not talking about putting it on the stove? Because if you put it on the stove, where there are coals, where there's a flame, or something of that nature, and it's sitting like cooking like in a pot, that's a whole different prohibition than the Rabbanan called Achzori. You're not permitted to return food to the fire on Shabbos for several other reasons. But if you're going to get around that problem, the Rabbanan, just on the pure deraisa level, so Shulchan Aruch says there's absolutely nothing wrong with taking a piece of cooked chicken and putting it a few feet away from the fire, even though it's going to get very, very hot. Why isn't that bishul? So the answer is obvious, because ain't bishul achar bishul. So the Mishnah Berurah on the spot in the Sefer Be'alacha, I didn't put it in the Maamar Kavos, so the Be'alacha on the spot raises a red flag about the din Shulchan Aruch. The Mishnah Berurah says, wait a second. You're taking a piece of soup chicken, that's what he says, dovashin is basher kol tzarcho, piece of chicken that was in the soup from Friday afternoon, and Shabbos morning you're taking that soup chicken and putting it a foot away from the flame. And that's perfectly okay. That's the Mishnah Berurah. Wait a second. Isn't putting a piece of chicken near the flame not called bishul? That's called tzli. That's called roasting. So how could the Shulchan Aruch just be mastered like that? The Shulchan Aruch in Tifhei was the one who quotes Yesh Bishul. I mean, he's the one who quotes the Rabbi Elazar Mitz, who says that you have to be careful not to be mevashel things that were nitzla. And the reverse is also true. You can't be tzola things that were nitzvashel. So according to the Shulchan Aruch himself, according to the Chumash of Elazar Mitz, this should be a Shava Deraisa. to take a piece of soup chicken and put it in a place where it's going to become roasted should be a very serious problem. And how come the Shulchan Aruch doesn't even mention, doesn't even reference with Lazlinitz? And the Mishnah Berurah throws his hands up and says, not sure. That's strange. What's going on in Shulchan Aruch? So the Chazon Ish writes that the answer is Poshet, the Chazon Ish, that when we speak about Bishul and Sli being different categories, what we mean is as follows. Bishul, when you cook a pot of soup and you have a piece of soup chicken, that's called Oph, Zar Ophshin is Bashel. When you have a barbecue and a guy is sitting with a piece of chicken over the open grill and he's got a sauce on it and he's flipping it and a burger and that, that's called Sli. There is nobody under the sun who would mistake the taste of something that was barbecued or something that was cooked. I mean, we know what soup chicken tastes like, but we know what a good piece of barbecued meat tastes like. It's not the same thing. Says the Chazon Ish, the only time the Lazim Mitzvah would be machmir, that yesh sli achabishol, that doesn't mean you just happen to heat up a piece of chicken without soup. If you take a piece of soup chicken and you put it into an empty tray or something and throw it on the fire, that's not called sli, that's called bishol. There's no water, that's okay. There's no change. It's not going to change its taste. If you take the piece of soup chicken and put it onto a barbecue grill with a flame shooting out under it, that would be yesh sliach habishol. So the only time yesh sliach habishol is when the taste is radically different. You take a look and say, this is roasted, this is toasted, this is barbecue, this is sli. Just the fact that it was warm without any liquid around it, that is a little bit lamazlam. So I started to shake when we were talking about the Lash Friday night. I started to think, oh my goodness, what happens to a marshmallow? When you take a marshmallow, which true is fully cooked, but now when you put it onto a blech, or put it onto a hot plate, what's it going to look like after an hour? Is it going to have that barbecue-y smell, that barbecue-y taste? It's going to have that, this is a toasted marshmallow. I had the image as a little kid of, sitting around the fireplace, you take a marshmallow, you stick it on a stick, and you put it into the fire, and it's not that, it's toasted up. That's a toasted marshmallow. I was wondering in my Tola Maratzis about putting marshmallows on blech, I was like, what's going to happen? You put a marshmallow on a hot plate. Is it going to come away looking like that? So I thought it was it was just matter, a shadow, something against a deraisa. So I wasn't sure. So I told all the Balabapim Shabbos to hold off. I gave a co-carrier of Shabbos. I said, whoever's at the fire in that shiur, wait, let's see what happens. I said, well, to be determined. So that was the goal of the experiment last night in Murgerfield, was to take some marshmallows, put it to mimic a hot plate or blech, we wouldn't do in Shabbos because of the Darabonim problem, but it's the same basic thing. You take a little plate of aluminum foil, stick it on, like it's hotter on a blech than on the hot plate. So you stick it onto the hot plate, stick it onto the blech, and leave it there for a while, see what happens. So we really want to see two things that may or may not happen. Number one, does it turn to a liquid? If it turns into a liquid, then we have the Rebbeinu Baruch problem, the Chumra Lechatchila maybe, the Rabbanan. But if it toasts up and really gives off that real brownish, toasty geschmack of marshmallow, smoked marshmallow look and taste, then we may have a shot of their ice on our hands. So the good news was that when I saw those marshmallows, which I was told were sitting on the blech inside a little aluminum tray for 1 hour, they looked like white marshmallows. They were definitely not liquidy at all. If anything, they were dried out like anything. They looked like white marshmallows. And if you look carefully enough, you'll see like a little brownish, on the edges. I did not think that was the tzli that the Chazon Ish was describing. I think the tzli of marshmallows, the equivalent of the tzli of washers, would be like to toast it. To take a marshmallow and put it mamish in the fire on Shabbos, that would be havar also, because you're mamish making a fire out of the marshmallow. But that would be a tzli achabishul. That I think would be the equivalent of the Chazon Ish's mamish roasting barbecue with a piece of soup chicken. But when you take a marshmallow and put it onto the hot plate, that's like taking a piece of soup chicken and putting it onto the hot plate. What happens to the soup chicken? Absolutely nothing. What happened to the marshmallow? It dried out a little bit, turned into some masho brown. I didn't think that was a sleedika marshmallow. So Baruch Hashem, we could breathe a sigh of relief. But I think that both issues that we were concerned with the marshmallows, neither of them really panned out to be too much of a problem. The liquefying probably is not going to happen unless you leave it there for a very, very, very long time. And the issue of the tzli, again, maybe leave it there for 20 years, something like that, but leave it there for an hour. Well, it might say nothing happened, so I don't think I'm going to leave it there for too much longer than that. Not going to be much less than a marshmallow after that. So Lefiani is 90. I think we can now say with fairly degree of certainty that it's permissible to put marshmallows on a hot plate on Shabbos. I think that may be the end of the sugya. We'll see what happens if anything else comes up in the next couple of days. We'll keep you posted. Okay.